Grab your Bibles and let's get into the Word this morning.
Well, this is second to the last time I am the pastor of Valley Christian Center. I'll be teaching as to Valley Christian Center, and I'm excited about it. And I'm going to, it's almost 12. We're going to do speed talking. You know what I'll do is I'm trying to figure out what to do. I'm wasting time. Go to Joshua chapter 1 with me. We have been on a topic. Oh, by the way, it's good to have Jay and Kim Norman here. Bless you guys. Thanks for being here. And also, one of our dear, dear saints went to be with Jesus on Thursday, Alberta Grogan. So, Grogans, we love you guys. We love you guys. And that's all I got is I love you guys. So we'll be letting you know about her memorial service in the coming days. We're in transition. We're really always in some form of transition. Transition is from what used to be to what is not yet. So when Deb and I, when we got married, I transitioned and she transitioned from being single, what we used to being married. And that period of time between that is that transition. The Grogans, I love the Grogans, but they're in transition right now from their mom being present to the transition of what is it going to look like now. My mom had, when my father passed away, transitioned from I've been married over 50 years to now I'm single, and what does this look like? And in transition, you've got to have courage. Got to have courage. And God gives very specific instructions on how to walk through transition. It's not a mystery. Very specific instructions on how when life used to be this, and I don't know what it's going to look like. And God, through Joshua, shows us how to walk through transition with courage. And we looked at last week how pessimism can keep us from entering into the next thing. Pessimism is contemptuous distrust, and how the nation of Israel came up to the promise. And they said, there's giants in the land. It's too difficult. And what amazes me in Numbers chapter 14 is that all night long, Israel cried and they wailed. They wept. Can you imagine over 1 million people, what the sound of 1 million people crying and wailing would sound like? I know I wouldn't have gotten any sleep that night. But my question I had in the Bible is why? Because nothing's happened. No one's died. No loss of life. Nothing has taken place. And they're crying as if life is over. And that's what pessimism does. Pessimism puts into the future what could be like it already is. So how many's heard the report? A recession is coming. Oh, my 401, what am I going to do? Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, nothing has happened yet. And what happens in pessimism is we want to go backwards. Israel said, let's go back to slavery. Brilliant call. Brilliant call. And have you thought about this? They were going to go back to Egypt, a land that was decimated because Pharaoh's heart was hardened. They weren't going back to a land of plenty. They're going back to a land that was decimated because of Pharaoh's hard heart. They were going backwards, and also they took a lot of the wealth of Egypt with them. When they say, hey, sorry, here's your stuff. Sorry about that. When God really kind of paid 400 years of slavery into the nation of Israel, pessimism wants to go backwards. And dear ones, and I think I'll finish this up next week. Let me just introduce this. Dear ones, when pessimism hits our heart instead of courage, we think yesterday was better than today. But I remember the 60s and 70s. Do you remember the race riots, those of you who are old enough to remember that? Do you remember the literal bombings that were taking place in the United States of America? And this is what's from terrorists overseas. This was Americans blowing Americans up. I remember as a child watching on the news with Walter Cronkite, and that's the way it is. I think that's close, right? I would watch the Vietnam War on television, And I was terrified as these soldiers are shooting into dense jungles, and you don't even see it. It's just, I was like, what's going to happen? I remember as a kid going to school, and we had two drills. One was for an earthquake, and the other one was for a global nuclear war. And the teachers, they would shut the curtain off the glass so that if the glass broke, it wouldn't hit us. And we would hide under our desk in case Russia sent a nuclear bomb to our city. Hide under your desk. You'll be okay. Anybody else remember that? Did anybody else have those drills, right? And we go, oh, send this back. It wasn't that great. I'm glad we don't go back just for the fact of rotary dial phones. If you had a zero in your number, if you're in trouble, 9. One. I don't think they have it 911 during those days. You basically died. Cynicism is this thing of we're afraid of what, and nothing's happened, but we're fearful. We're afraid like it's already happened. So we're going to read Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to close it off next week as our last sermon as Valley Christian Center. And I'm going to share you, I'm just going to briefly touch on my wife and I, we have based our life verse is found in Joshua chapter 1, because I'm telling you something. If you and I can just do one thing, God promises us a life of success and prosperity. How many want to be prosperous and successful? I mean, seriously. Either you're not raising your hand, you don't care, or you think I'm trying to sell you something. Which, by the way, I've got this multi-level marketing happening right after service. God promises prosperity and success. He promises us this in life. And he shows us how to do it. And it all takes place during transition. So in Joshua chapter 1, I'll probably know guys only get probably one or two points, and we'll finish it up next week. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is a verses that you must memorize. Because in a world that tries to tell you what success and prosperity looks like, God says, I'll show you how to make your life work. And what I love about the Bible is that it's not just a spiritual book for Sundays. It's a life book that works in every area of life. And if we apply it and put it into practice, here's what God's promises to you. The fruit of aligning your life with my word is that you will be prosperous and you will be successful. So that'll be next week. So if you want to come to my secret seminar, come next Sunday and you'll hear about it. But it starts with this. Moses, my servant, is dead. These words are not comforting. These words are not consoling. These words are confrontive. And it's not like God is informing Joshua that Moses is dead because they just spent 30 days mourning his passing. What is God doing? If you and I are going to transition from what used to be to what is yet to be, we've got to know this. Yesterday is dead and there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot change yesterday. And none like what the Beatles sang yesterday, oh, my troubles seem so far away. But they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. I do not believe in yesterday. I believe in today and tomorrow. But too often what happens in transition times is that we look at our todays and we don't know what it's going to be. So we look at our yesterdays and say, man, if it only could be that way. Listen, yesterday is gone. There's nothing you can do. You can't change anything about it. Nothing. It's dead. It's gone. And this is what he's telling Joshua. Listen, you're not going to be Moses. I don't need you to be Moses. I need you to be Joshua. Can you imagine following a guy who led Israel so powerfully for years, and now it's your turn? Imagine the challenge that Joshua is going to have to lead over a million people, and when Moses was such a great leader, and he's just this young buck coming up. And God is telling him, listen, Moses, dead. He doesn't put disparaging remarks on Moses. He doesn't say, hey, Moses messed up. It should have been him, but he kind of disqualified himself, so it's you, Joshua. Sorry, good luck. No excuse, no negative. It's dead. And dear ones, you got to hear this. You got to hear this, and I got to hear this. You can't live in regret of yesterday. You can't live in shame of yesterday. You can't move forward into what God, the yet to be, if you're stuck with Moses. If I just would have got that job. Oh man, here was my deal. My dad was 6'5". I wanted to be a professional athlete so bad. I wanted to play professional basketball. The problem is my mom is 5'2". If my dad would have married a woman who was 6 foot tall, can you imagine how tall I would have been? So I am 5'10 and a half, went to the doctor Friday, 5'10 and a half. I was 6 foot in high school on the basketball team, but I'm 5'10 and a half. Can you imagine a 5'10 and a half white boy walking? Hey, I can play professional basketball. Okay. If only this would have happened. If only I had a better education. If only, then life would be different. Guys, that's dead. It's over. And you got to let it go to move forward. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 3. He says, forgetting what is behind, I press on to take hold of what is ahead. Brothers, I have not been made perfect, but one thing I do. He says it twice. I'm forgetting what is behind. One thing I do. Forget what is behind. I press on toward ahead. I strain ahead to possess what Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Paul knew his testimony. Paul did not forget that he was a bad guy. He just didn't let his past keep him from pressing on to tomorrow. This is the power of the gospel. Our sins have all been forgiven. All of them. Every one of them. And we're not to muck about in yesterday's sins and regrets or pain or sorrows. Moses is dead. Move on. And we're going to learn how to move on next week in my seminary class, my secret seminary class. Moses is dead. Listen, how many mucked up this week? How many did something stupid this week? Okay? The rest of you, God bless you. One of the problems we have as Christians sometimes is that we carry shame. We knew better. We did it anyways. So God must be up there going, I'm going to give you one of these. Jesus took all the one of these at the cross. All the curse of sin was placed on Jesus. Well, Mike, shouldn't I feel guilty? Shouldn't I feel shame? Listen, you need to repent because sin breaks the relationship with God. Consistent sin breaks the relationship with God. But too often we carry it further than God does. He loves you and he forgave you. He doesn't want you to grovel for 6 months to show true repentance. Let me show you, say these words with me. Father, forgive me. I sinned. Done. Move on. Move on. And if you have trouble moving on, that's where you need discipleship. That's where you need people to speak into your life. That's where you need people to come into your heart and say, tell us, why are you holding on to this? That's what one of the things that discipleship does. The second thing is this, before we close this morning. Here's a promise of God. First of all, yesterday is dead. Number two, God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Would you say these words with me? I will never leave you. I will never forsake. Would you say it again, please? I will never leave you. Every generation, I've heard this from my grandparents, I heard it from my parents, and I heard it from my own mouth. Here's words that we have said. Maybe you understand, maybe you know them too. Oh, I wonder what kind of world we're going to raise our children in. Oh, it's going to be awful. Oh, boy, it's going to be bad. My grandparents were afraid for my parents. My parents were afraid for us. We were afraid for our kids. Every generation has to deal with, there are challenges that the last generation didn't have to deal with. But the overarching promise is this from God. Whatever generation you're raised in, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We don't have to go, oh, if only the world was better. It doesn't have to be better. Because we have a God who says, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. This word, and this is just for reference. In Hebrews chapter 13, this same phrase is used by the writer of Hebrews, who uses often this story as he wrote the book of Hebrews to Jewish Christians in Rome. He used a lot of this story found right here. And this was another time when he uses this story from when Joshua heard from God, never leave you, never forsake you. And the culture of what he was living in at the time is Romans, Christian, Jewish, Jews who lived in Rome. He says this, number one, love three, and it's 1 through 6, Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. He says, first of all, love each other as brothers. Continue to love each other as brothers. Secondly, he says, don't forget to entertain strangers, because sometimes you're entertaining angels unaware. Third, he says, the marriage bed needs to be pure. So God will judge the fornicator and the adulterer. Fourth, he says, keep your heart free from the love of money, because God says, and here's the verse, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So in this time, this was the culture that the Christians were living in. They were living in persecution. He also talked about people who go to jail, stay with them, love them. This was the culture that the Christians were living in during that time. And as they were living with persecution, as they were living with being displaced by the Roman government, as they were living with marriage didn't have a lot of value to the Roman people, so they would just sleep around with anybody. And when they were saying the money is everything, that was the culture of the time. And here's what the writer says. Instead of being involved in the culture, remember, God will never leave you or forsake you. And then he adds Psalm 118, where he says, therefore I say, what can mortal man do to me? Guys, whatever culture we live in, whatever time we live in, whatever place we live in, whether it's a small valley like this or if it's a big city, God says to his people, no matter where and what time you live in, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. Why is that important? Courage. It takes courage to not live in your past. It takes courage not to come into a current situation and bring all the hurts of the past into that current situation and start evaluating that situation, not by that moment, but by all the hurts of the past. It takes courage to be present when you have that, when your wife says to you, hey, we need to talk. And you go, uh-oh, here's those words. I know what this means. Ah! To be present. It takes courage for two churches to say we are going to become one body. It takes courage for church people to say, where are you going? We're not sure because we're in transition yet right now. We're not what we used to be, but we're not what we're going to be. And it takes courage to say, we're going to trust God in this. Pastor Jeff and I, we know a lot more than we did 2.5 years ago. Man, we know a lot more. But there's still a lot we don't know. And it takes courage to say, God, let's keep going. Well, who's going to be in charge? Who's going to be the main preacher? Who's going to be the, hey, listen, let me look you in the eye. How many have been raised in church pretty much your whole life? Can I see your hand? Okay. You know what you've been raised in? I can almost guarantee it, no matter what denomination you went to, no matter what church you went to, you were raised in a hierarchical form of church. Senior pastor, and if it's big enough, you have associate pastors and a music pastor and a children's pastor. You have this hierarchical, but you already always knew who the person was because they were the primary communicator on Sunday. You knew where the buck stopped. You knew where the bottom line was. Guess what? We are taking that buck and we're shooting it. We're going all Idaho right now. Should have worn camo. What are we doing? We feel as if the biblical model of government is not hierarchical, but it's serving each other. It's gifting. It's loving each other. It's taking a model of here, here, here to say here, here, here. And in that, will there be authority? Absolutely, there'll be authority. But it's a biblical authority that says we trust that Jesus is the head of the church. And we're going to follow Jesus in this. We're going to see what he does. That's going to be hard, guys, because we've all been raised in hierarchical leadership in church. And also, Pastor Jeff and I, we are not saying every other church is wrong. We're not doing that. This is our journey. And it's going to take courage for us to say, I don't know. Let's figure it out. Let's pray. Let's go back to the word. We are not what we used to be and what is yet to be. We're right in that transition, and it's going to take some time for us to God to reveal to us, oh, this is what's yet to be, but there's also more yet to be. There's a lot more yet to be. And the next words he gives to Joshua, which we'll talk about next week, we'll close with next week. Three times. God is intentional in what he says. He knows what he's saying it. He knows why he says it. Three times, be strong and courageous. Why? There's an inheritance to possess. Be strong and courageous. Why? The temptation to turn to another direction will be always prevalent. Wouldn't it be easier if you just had the guy or the girl? Wouldn't it be easier if you just, maybe? But the temptation just to turn to the right or to the left will be there. And third time, be strong and courageous. Why? Because fear and discouragement will always be there to keep us from stepping into the fullness of God's promise for his people. And through his people. So next week, I'm going to teach you guys how to be prosperous and successful. And you know what? It's simple, but not easy. And my wife and I think I can say this. We are the most prosperous, successful people that you'll ever see. Well, Mike, you don't have 1,000 people coming to the church. That's not God's thing of prosperity and success. I believe it's going to happen. But I want God's definition of prosperity and success. And it does have to do with money and things. It does. But that's not everything. That's really actually a very small portion of what he calls prosperity and successful. It is part of it, but it's not. It's really small. It is a life lived in the fullness of who God has made you to be. And I'll tell you what, we have been through a lot of stuff. Oh, man, I so badly want to tell you guys this, but I can't. It's bubbling up. I'll give you one hint. Oh, man, just one hint. Just one. It works, man. I'm telling you, it works. I promise you, it's God's word. Prosperity and success comes from not trying to figure out what life is about. No matter what age you are, prosperity and success comes from aligning yourself with God's word and staying on his path of blessing. Just stay on the path. Temptation is to go, I'm going to do it my way. It's just stay on the path. And I'm going to give you one testimony and I'm done. My wife and I, we don't complain. We don't complain at all. But when we were in Vegas, we just didn't make a lot of money. Okay? It's okay. And the Lord, I might have told you this story. Our family on a Saturday night at Jack in the Box, I said, if we owned a house, what would it look like? And I said, Deb, what do you want? And she said this. And Amy, what do you want? She wanted her own room and her own bathroom because we lived in a 1,300 square foot house with a growing family. And Josh, what do you want? And Caleb, what do you want? And I want. And then we went around again. And what do you want, Amy? And Josh, and we went around. Well, the next Sunday night, I promise you this, the next Sunday night we had an evangelist come to our church named Benny Perez. Maybe some of you have heard of him. And Benny goes, he calls me out and he says, hey, Mike, do you have a house? And I said, well, yeah, we live in a house. He goes, no. Do you want to own a house? And I go, yeah. And as I'm looking you right in the eye, he described the house exactly what we talked about the night before. And not only that, he described it in the same way every person said it. So what Deb said, he said first. What Amy said, he said second. In the same order that everyone talked, he described the house exactly how what we were going to get. Do you think my faith was like, whoa? OK,
Okay? So Deb and I go, let's go look for a house. And we looked for the houses, and they were like $500,000 houses. Right? So God promises nothing's going to happen because we can't afford that kind of house. So here's what happens. I go to India. I'm meeting with a friend of mine, and he goes, hey, how's that house coming? It's about a year later, how's the house coming? I said, well, I don't know, man. And he goes, I'll tell you what, I got a real estate agent. She's a Christian. I'll give her a call. You need to hook up. And so I called this lady, and she said, hi, Pasquale. Asked me, yeah. I said, hi, Mike. You're a Christian? Yes, I am. I go, okay, well, here's what we're looking for. And first time I ever said this to a real estate agent, I said, God gave us a word about the house we're going to get. Do you believe in that kind of stuff? She goes, absolutely. I pray in tongues over every house I go into. I go, yeah, Shabbat. It was awesome. Okay, so a year later, she calls and says, I found your house. And it was the house exactly what we'd asked for. It had a swimming pool. It had a backyard. It had a jacuzzi. It had a 3-car garage. It had 3 master suites. It had a huge game room. It had an open kitchen. It was amazing. Mike, what did you do during that year? We just stayed on the path. Because on the path, God knew that we're going to walk into a house. It was already on the path. We just walked into it. God knew on September 29th, 2019, he already knew this. What are we doing as a church? We're just staying on the path of aligning to his word. We're just staying on the path of obedience. And God was up in heaven going, oh man, wait till September 29th. Dude, this is like a billion years ago. Wait till September 29th. Mike and Jeff in the church, they're just going to walk on the path and they're going to step into a blessing that I have for them. Because you don't have to go looking for blessing. They're all on the path. They're just on the path of obedience. Who knows what's going to happen February 18th next. Somebody write February 18th. That might be a big day for God. Who knows what God has in store for you on February 18th, 2020. It's already on the path. And that's what he's teaching Joshua. Just stay on the path. And our whole life has been this. We're just going to stay on the path of aligning ourselves to God's word. And he has blessed us beyond anything I can share. Because it's his prosperity and it's his success. Would you stand with me? Thank you for giving me a few extra moments. I want to teach you guys, it works in marriage, it works in family, it works in business. I read of a man who is a multimillionaire. Every year, at the first of the year, he takes 2 weeks, he takes a pen, a notepad, and a Bible, and he goes and says, God, what do you want to do with my business now? And every year he goes and he just seeks God and he aligns his business with the path, with the word of God. It works for family, it works for church, it works for every area of your life. As you align yourself with God's word, it's so stinking practical. And God says, here's the fruit I want to give you. I want to prosper you and make you successful. How many say yes to that? Listen, I'm not this charismatic guy, a prosperity preacher, where you're all going to have a golden Cadillac. I'm not talking about that. That's just a bunch of hooey. I'm talking about God where you have the fulfillment of life that you've never known before. That you cannot make it up yourself. You can't. And in the path, there are challenges. There's things that are going to challenge, can I trust God? Can I believe in God? That's why you got to be strong and courageous. To stay on the path. There'll be times when sickness hits or disease hits. You got to stay on the path. That's where we become strong and courageous. I'm not letting go of God's word and his presence. I'm staying on the path. And if we ever stride to the side, God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to get you right back on the path. Because that's where you're going to find fulfillment. It's on the path. That's where you find life. It's on the path. So let me pray this over you. Proverbs 4:15. Would you close your eyes? Let me pray this over you. The psalmist said, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, growing ever brighter to the full light of day. That some of you on your path, you don't see very far. It's like you're walking down a wooded path and you can't see very far down the road because the sun hasn't come up yet. But the path of the righteous is like that first gleam where you can just see a few feet ahead of you. But then as God's sun rises above you, you're going to be able to see further down the path because it is a path of righteousness. And the path of salvation, narrow is the road. The path of salvation is just Jesus Christ. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the path of life. That we can be very saved Christians living a very hellish earth because we're not learning God's ways of living on the path of life. And I pray over you today in Jesus' name that you and I would commit ourselves, like God spoke to Joshua, to align ourselves in obedience to his word, because the fruit of alignment comes with prosperity and success. And so in Jesus' name, I pray for every one of us. The success of Echo Hills Church is not going to be based on systems or programs. It's not going to be based on that. It's going to be based upon the people of God aligning themselves with the word of God, that we as a people are blessed and prosperous and successful because we're living life God's way. And I want all of you to know what Jesus said, I've come to give life and life to the fullest. I want each and every one of you to know greater and greater this path of life that he says, I promise you, you'll be prosperous and you'll be successful. Would anybody here be willing to receive that into your life? Would you say yes and amen? So Lord, we pray over Echo Hills Church. We pray, Lord, that we would be people who stay on the path of obedience to your word. And in so doing, Lord, your promise is this. Through relational obedience, God, your promise is this. We'll be prosperous and successful as Echo Hills Church. And we let you define what that looks like, but we know it's a promise that you give us today. I bless each one here today. Lord, I pray, I believe everyone here has gone through the path of salvation, but Lord, I pray each and every one of us would take seriously the call to the path of life so that we walk in the fruit of your blessing. It's already on the path. It's waiting for us. And it could be tomorrow, but we walk into it today with great strength and great courage in Jesus' name. Would you agree by saying yes and amen? So let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And we got more to unpack next week. Next week, Sunday morning, Valley Christian Center, we're gonna take communion, hear the word, we're going to celebrate what God did in our past, and then we are moving forward to what God is going to do. So let's go. Be blessed. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock.